Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's Kaya with you until 7 this evening and I do hope I find you well. Let me know how you are by texting 083 300 3300 on our text and WhatsApp, or you can do so by emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. A few of you have gotten in touch over a number of weeks, and Joanne Brosnan got in touch this month to say she loves the programme. And would you mind saying hello to Greta Brosnan in Ballybunion? She said love from all of Greta's huge family and good friends. So thank you very much for that one, Joanne. At the Sounds Country concert in the Glen Eagle on Wednesday night, Bernard and Helen came up to Melody and said they tune in to Travels Through a Kingdom every week. So hello to both of you if you are both tuned in tonight. And it's always lovely to hear that you are tuning in. We have a busy show for you tonight with the archive of Sean Hurdy. We meet some of the members of Ballybunion Active Retirement and we go to Abbey Dorney. And to Abbey Dorney we begin our travels tonight. Bernadette O'Sullivan got in touch with the show to say she tuned in one Sunday, so I asked and chanced my arm to see if she would like to come on and talk. And I'm glad to say she agreed and she joins us tonight to talk about her memories in Abbey Dorney with the hurling, coursing, her life travelling and being a twin.
Hello, my name is Bernadette O'Sullivan. I am living in Drumcunnig, Abbey Dorney, which is less than about 10 minutes from Abbey Dorney village, for about 4 or 5 miles from Tralee, and we're on the main road to Ballyduff and Ballybunion.
Very good. When did you move here? You weren't born here originally.
No, I was born in England. We lived there for a year, and my mother was from Limerick, a place called Ballintubber, Newcastle West. My father is Patrick Steck, is from Fort William, Abbey Dorney. So when we came back, we moved to a place called the Old School in Killeahan for a couple of years while they got a bit of a house started in Fort William, like a granny flat, onto his mother and father's house. So we stayed in beside the Nolans, Baby Nolan's house. We went from there then to Fort William and we lived in, like I said, a granny flat. It was a big bedroom with three double beds, one bathroom, and the kitchen and sitting room were all the one. So they'd be about the same. Their kitchen and sitting room would be the same size as my sitting room now.
Oh my goodness!
So it wasn't overly big, but you know what? It did. There was about six of us in the house at that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you have many siblings?
Yeah, six. There was myself and there was my mother and my father. There was my sister Mary. She's the oldest in the family. She's living in Ballyhigh. There's myself and my twin sister Geraldine. So that's three. And then there was Catherine. She's living in Banmore. Four. My sister Christina, five. So there was five. So there was five children and two, my mother and father, seven.
Oh, so you were busy out.
Oh, busy wasn't the word for it.
What was it like having a twin?
It was great. You know, when we were growing up, it was actually fun. But we used to kill each other half an hour. But it was great that the teachers hadn't a clue who we were. My grandfather didn't know us at all. I have a spot in my, well, it's like a dint from when I had chicken pox years ago. And he used to lift up my hair and he used to say to me, Berger, like the paint, because he couldn't figure out still who it was. But at school, when we were growing up, they did this test on us, you know, because we were twins. They took me into one room with a teacher, my sister Geraldine into another room with a teacher, gave us both the same lots of questions, then told us to go back into class then after that, and they checked each question. We both got the same questions right and the same questions wrong.
Stop it.
Yeah. And I don't even remember that, but that's I was told by my mother that they did that, just to check out, to see were we any bit telepathic, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes over the years, I'd go to say something and she'd repeat it after me. She'd say it before me.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
And are you very close?
No, we are more so closer now than before. But, like, I mean, we were always sort of close. But, you know, as yourself growing up now, you'd be fighting with the sister or be fighting with the brother and you'd make up then 5 minutes later. That's that the way. But no, we're more closer now as the years went on.
Yeah.
I think we got older and wiser.
Now, you've done a bit of research for me here about Abbey Dorney. So what do we have here?
I have. The ploughing is a big thing in Abbey Dorney. As you go down to the village on the right-hand side, they have the shoe of the horses. What's that? I can't think of the name of it. But they have a lovely sort of plough in the front of it. But they have a name of all the winning ploughmen over the years.
Lovely.
Just to name a few, P.J.P. Shannon was a winning tractor ploughman. Patrick Mahoney, which my brother-in-law's father was a ploughman, John Joe Egan, Mary Fairvy Shenahan. She's from Mary Shenahan Fairvy, I mean, from Ballylehev. She was Queen of the Plough 2 years in a row in New Ross. David and, oh no, that's the wrong one, this one here now. Tommy McCarthy from back in Abidorney is one of the more recent ploughmen, and he won an All-Ireland up there a couple of years ago. So, and do you know what they used to do years ago in Abidorney? And they did it when Tommy won as well. They go through the village with the pikes with the flaming sods on it. Oh, it was beautiful. It was my first time seeing it when Tommy won. But apparently that's what they did all them years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's a big thing. And there's a fella, Brendan Glavin, comes over from England every year to plough. And then they have them Clydesdale horses and stuff. Oh. It's a real big deal, like once a year in Abidorney, so it is.
Very good, very good.
And then just the drama then.
And then you have the drama here in Abidorney. What's that about?
Yeah, I'll just say Abidorney Dramatic Society started in 1930 in the community centre and the church parish hall. Started by Bob Brosnan, the Brosnan Family Home and Dance Hall Community Centre, owned by Robert Bob Brosnan, Tree Conroy's grandfather. Johnny Brennan was one of the founders of the Drama Society in Abidorney. Then Delane renewed the drama in Abidorney, and Big Maggie was one of the players there. Mary Reedy Carroll was also in Big Maggie. Petty John Keane and John O'Brien were some of the actors in the first play. And over the years, like, it's got to get quite now at the moment, the plays in Abidorney. They actually need more people, I think, to volunteer, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of work involved in it.
Yeah.
But over the years, they've put on some fantastic plays, like, mm-hmm. and drawn plenty of crowds. And actually, Mike Holland, I think he works for Kerry Radio now and again, I think he does. He did the Queen's Speech there.
He did. He just did that last weekend.
Oh, that's... It was absolutely brilliant. And the story behind it was fantastic.
But again, these things take months to do.
Months. Actually, Michael, speaking of Michael, no. He did a lovely podcast there earlier on, maybe about 2 years ago. And he actually interviewed a couple of different players between chairman and... Not just from Abidorney, Ballyhigh, Causeway. And they were very interesting. You know, they actually sort of, if you were at home listening, you know, you say, well, I know him, you know, they sort of, and it'd make you want to listen more.
Yeah.
And it was great that he didn't just interview the players, he interviewed the chairman, which do a pile of work for the village. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm just saying, it's just drama, ploughing, coursing, GA, hurling. Hurling is another big thing here at Abidorney. Yeah. To mention a few, Tom Lyons, Jack Condon, Ned McKelligate, Christy Sullivan, all good, great hurlers over the years.
To show such a small little village and so much goes on.
Yeah, and it takes people to volunteer because a lot of them trainers don't get a penny for what they do. And you know what, if it keeps children off the streets and keeps them active and makes that they get to make friends, I'm all for it.
You went to school here in this area, wasn't it?
I went to Killeen. Oh, lads. It was a great school. Where we lived in Fort William, we used to walk to school every morning. And lads, we had some crack. Oh, it was brilliant. We used to walk down the road and we used to meet Tom Mansell's daughters, Kay and Susan and Caroline. And we used to meet a couple more on the road and we'd all have a great old bit of crack going down to school. As you know yourself now, in them days, like when you were doing your homework and all this crack, if we got it wrong, we'd get a bit of a slap. But it was strict then. But Jerry Dyle from Killeen took it over. And that seems like a breath of fresh air. He brought life into the school. And it wasn't all about the books. It was about... the books, yes, definitely. But he was bringing to sport. Yeah. And he got us into football.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So
how old were you then?
I was 12 when I left Abidorney, or Killeen National School, when we moved. But I was only from, I'd say, about 7 or 8 when Jerry joined the school. So, and there was Mrs. Maloney and Mrs. Kennelly. And like I think the way they worked it was, say, you started off in one class, it was like baby, infants and junior. And then you go to the next quarter, it'd be first, second, maybe third. Yeah. And then Jerry's class then would be fourth, fifth and sixth. So, and there was a fine sort of yard outside where we could go out and play ball. But I'll never forget this. Jerry came out one day and he was playing. It was a beautiful summer's day. And Jerry sat to playing ball with us. And Jerry kicked the ball and it broke one of the windows in the school. And as if that was us, I tell you, we'd have got probably a week's detention or something like that for it. But because it was Jerry, there was nothing about it. It was lovely. And we used to do the cross-country running as well.
Oh, my God.
So, and it was all really through the school. We got into that as well. And Father Brasson was taking us with the North Kerry club it was. Mm-hmm. So we used to travel all over the country running.
And where did your kind of passion for hurling and the like for that come from?
Do you know, I think, I suppose, when growing up, we used to see the club here in Abbey Dorney GA club. There was a fine field there now, but there's an even better field there now. It's beautiful, like there's an all-weather pitch there, which is fantastic. And we got into it. It was actually, I'd say, through Jerry in one way that we really started off, because when we were playing in the school, we got the interest of the football. So we joined the club, Abbey Dorney Ladies Club in Abbey Dorney. And we used to travel all over the country. We were actually getting between, you could say, from 10 upwards. But we went down then, even when we left National School, we continued to play for Abbey Dorney.
Lovely.
Now, we had a few winners, a few games that we won and a few games that we lost. But we used to have great old crack.
Yeah.
Oh, we travelled to Clare one time with a gang of us. And we were playing against some team. I can't think of the name of the year, you know. But I can't even remember, did we win? The crack was so good between after the match. We had such good crack. Like, cause it's a novelty for us to get away from home.
Yeah.
Because we didn't travel that far. And when we used to have the socials, my father used to come with us and the mother might come as well. And you know the way fellas would be asking us to dance and all this. The father had said to us, "Don't dance with him, dance with him." You know, like they were just sort of telling you what to do, sort of thing.
And is that where you may have met your husband? Or
no, actually, that's another good story. I actually, when I was 21, I moved away from home. I moved to England for a year and a half, and I went to the Isle of Man for a year, and then I moved to the North for 7 years, you could say. Wow. So I was gone about 10 years in total. But I wasn't long back from the North, living here at my mum's, and I knew Christy's niece, Catherine, before I knew Christy. And her brother, Jojo, was getting engaged. And she invited me to the party. But in the meantime, I had got a job in Listowel in Fashion Figure, and they were going to some wedding. So they asked me to go in there. And of course, at the time, I was drinking pints. So I went into, I think it was near Binners, where Binners is now. And I had a pint there. And when I came in the door, Catherine and her then boyfriend were up the counter. And you know, Mrs. Dyle, she said to me, "There's a fellow over there now," and he was in the middle of all these people. "Go over and give him a kiss and give him a kiss." Of course, I said, "Not to hope." And it was like Mrs. Dyle, "Go on, go on, go on, go on." And I said, she drove me mad anyway. So eventually I went over and gave him a big smacker. Everyone in there fell off the seat. And of course, I said, "Hello, I'm Bernadette," big smacker. And up to the bar, and I was just about ordering my pint when I saw this big hen going across my shoulders ordering the pint. And we met and married in 7 months.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Very good. That's how we
celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary there on the 31st of January.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's
Thank
lovely.
You.
What was it like in the Isle of Man?
The Isle of Man was lovely. I worked in a residential home. There was 8 patients, and the rules were different in the 80s. You didn't have to be a qualified doctor or that own a residential home. The woman that owned it was actually a trained nurse. And my job was to look after the patients and stuff like that. And they all had their own different sort of things going on. But eventually, because she was so impressed with me working, she asked me, would I be in charge in the evening? So my shift would start, say, from 4 in the evening till, and I could actually sleep there till 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to get up and do rounds during the night. So I did that for about a year. But I find night duty is very hard in the system, so it is. Mm-hmm. But the Isle of Man, their rules, like, is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You never want to hear much of trouble there, like.
Yeah.
You don't curse in a pub. If you curse in a pub, you're told, give them one warning. If you curse the second time, you're told to get out. If we're caught drunk and disorderly walking down the street, you're arrested. That was now when I was there. I don't know what where the rules are now.
That's just incredible because, like, I don't really hear of many people going there, but I've always wondered about
it. Oh, it is a beautiful... If anyone gets a chance to go, definitely it's a place worth seeing. I think you can see the island in about 2.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. If you go on the... But it's beautiful. Like, it's just nice to go and stop in each place. Where I lived, it was in a place called Douglas. And, like, there's so many other places there, like Port St. Helen, Lexie, and all, Ramsey, all them places. So it's really nice. And the whatever they're doing over there, it seems to work. The only thing I found was, like, in England, now I don't know, as I said, it's probably all changed. It's whoever was from the island got first offers of the jobs, which is fair enough, and you'd understand that. And then you got whatever was left over, which that is fair enough too.
Yeah.
And like if they, like, because I worked in England, it was everyone else was, English was promoted first before the Irish or any other nationality where I worked.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was going back in the 80s, so different I'm times. Sure different times.
Yeah. But you know what? You did a great thing in experience life like that as well. You know?
Yeah, I would recommend anyone, if they can, travel. And do it before they marry and settle down, or even if they marry and before they have children, go. Because I think if we stay in Ireland all our life, it's not to do become narrow-minded, but you don't get to know the ways of the world.
No, you don't explore anything.
You don't, and I think it's very important to meet people from different cultures and learn how their ways and their ways of life is very important. Like, and then I think it makes you a bit more open-minded. Do you know, you wouldn't be, because a lot of people can be sort of narrow-minded. But it's not in a bad way, it's just that's the way they were brought up and that's the way they sort of live life.
You see the same thing all the time.
That's it, and it's just, that's the way you live.
And that was Bernadette O'Sullivan speaking to me over the week in Abbeydourney. And thank you so much for coming on the show. She definitely is such a good laugh and there was many, many things to laugh about with herself anyway. So let me know what you thought. You can get in touch by emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie or by texting 083 300 3300. We'll be back with more on Travels Through a Kingdom after this break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 this evening. Now, I met with Ballybunion Active Retirement Group last week and they meet up every Wednesday at 2 p.m. for weekly activities. I met with a few of the ladies there and I first spoke to Martina Reid. And before we start Martina's interview with us, she was actually on the Late Late Show last week and was speaking about her appearance in the new RTE programme, Superager. But she didn't tell me that until after our interview, but I said I'd mention it to you all tonight. Good on you, Martina. Martina tells us what she loves about coming to the Active Retirement Group every Wednesday and what exactly they get up to.
Oh, since it started, I might have been come lately around the 3 months, just 3 months, 6 months. I'd heard about it and I was curious. And one of our founding members, Mary O'Hanlon, had invited me to come to a meeting. I came and I never looked back.
Tell me, what have you been doing here over the last 2 decades?
Well, first, enjoying ourselves. Secondly, keeping in touch with one another. It's lovely to look forward to a Wednesday and to know that you're going to see the familiar faces. And actually, our founder, Marion Maloney, suggested at one meeting that we sit beside somebody different every week and get to know one another. And I had the good fortune to sit beside Delia. And Delia came up with this idea of encouraging a writer's group. She put it to Marion. Marion contacted John McGrath. And we are now ready to announce our 200th script.
Wow.
We have a marvellous writer's group. We have roughly 14 to 16 members. We have 6 sessions a term. And we started with John McGrath as our facilitator. We must thank Kerry Education Services for that. And then Marion Relihan took over as our leader, and she is incapacitated at the moment, but keeps an eye on us, and Barbara Derbyshire is in the chair.
Fantastic. What do you love about coming here, Martina?
What do I love? You only have to look at me and listen to me. I'm a born show-off. Look, I'm ready for chat. I love looking forward to the friendly faces. I love the stimulation it gives. The whole idea even of, you wouldn't think it, I know, to look at me today, but you wouldn't think it. You dress up to come on a Wednesday. You come in with a smile. If people haven't been here for a while, it's lovely to see them back. And there was a marvellous art group here, which is a bit defunct at the moment. We had wonderful festivals every year, the Bealtaine Festival. You have a look around at our art. But that was just once a year. But at least coming once a week is most enjoyable. I look forward to it.
Maureen Lawler.
Maureen. And you've been coming here from very much the beginning yourself as well.
Yes, maybe not the first meetings, but my husband died suddenly, and I was very lost and lonely. And somebody suggested coming here, and I did. And I knew a lot of the people that were here, but then they became friends. And they really did. After a couple of years, I was able to smile again. And the leader at that time was Marion Maloney, who became a great friend of mine. And she died on the 6th of January last year. But she was an incredible woman. She came from County Cork. And she trained to be a nurse in Guy's Hospital in London. And coincidentally, I had worked there a few years after she, or before she came. But then she went out to Zimbabwe as a nurse. And when she was there, she met Kevin, who worked on the railway, and they got married, and they had one son, Luke. And she really worked in the bush, and she did a lot of things there. And then Zimbabwe, of course, she had to leave it. And herself and Kevin left it with what they had on their back and one suitcase, and they came here to respond. And she was lonely. She knew nobody. So she put an ad in the supermarket, would anybody like to meet for a cup of tea? And that started it. And Marion ran a great ship. She was an incredible woman. She had a notebook and a biro, and she started everything. You know, Delia was so interested to start the writing, and she made sure that the writing went on. She would come to every writing meeting, but I think maybe she wrote one piece. She'd go to every art class, and she did actually paint one painting, but she was at them all. And when she left, she had to go to Limerick because her husband was starting to get Alzheimer's and she wanted to be near the hospital. But she left a great ship, and we had great chair people, and we had great committees, which we have now. But we're getting older, and you know, our members are decreasing, and we're getting older. And a lot of it is because I think older people now are minding their grandchildren, and they're not actually looking for something. But we have Dutch auctions and all sorts of things to make money, and we give money to charity, and we have yoga, sitting in the chair, which we love, and the writing is going to be celebrated, and we're really looking forward to that. And some of us go to the writing group, but we really only go for the beer. And, you know, the chat, listening to everybody's take on just one prompt is great. But the group has meant so much to me, and I'm sure to other people as well. Mm-hmm. And like Martina says, I maybe mightn't dress up to come now, but I come. Even with my stick, I come. And it's great, I get a drive. If it's raining, I get a drive from somebody. And everybody... It's a really great, absolutely fabulous group. And it's great for, what do they call it now? Active aging.
Yes.
That's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember when, obviously, you came here not knowing anybody? Were you very anxious coming in these doors?
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. Because I've lived in Ballybunion for many years, and you wouldn't be anxious joining anybody in Ballybunion, no way. We're nearly all, a lot of us, are blow-ins, and they don't take any notice of us. I'm here for 66 years now. So, no, I love Ballybunion, and no, I wasn't a bit anxious. I was anxious because I was sad, but once I, you know, developed this friendship with people, and they helped me, and the activities helped me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very, very happy for you. It sounds lovely, and obviously the people here have obviously impacted your life in so many good ways.
Oh, yes, everybody. I love to chat to everybody, and the people on my phone are nearly all the members of the Active Retirement, apart from my own small family.
Mary D.
So you've been coming here for about 10 years?
About 10 years, yes.
What brings you back every time for 10 years?
Again, friends. And the talk, the chat, meeting people. And every week we have something different to discuss. And with Pat and the Helm, she plans all these things and we have different things every week. And then, of course, the writing would be my big thing, really, because I've always been interested in writing bits and pieces.
Like what?
We get a prompt every 2 weeks, and we can do what we like with it. And everybody, we have 12, and everybody seems to take a different story out of it. And we never overlap. We come back after the 2 weeks, and everybody has a different story with the same prompt.
Okay.
So it's very good. And we contribute to the Ballydunhoo Parish Magazine and to the Bardic Festival. We send in entries to all these things. And it's the highlight, really. And then there's yoga here, and there's the St. Patrick's Day celebrations, and there's lots and lots of things going on, really. It's a big part of our lives. When you live in the country and things are quiet and people don't call in anymore because COVID, I think, finished that. Yeah. And people haven't got into the habit of rambling in. You don't have your door open like always. Yeah. And this gathering is most important.
Tell me, if anyone ever wanted to, you know, maybe come in here and even see it for a day, what advice would you give them if they were just a bit too shy to come in and join the group?
To come in and join us.
Yeah.
Well, they're assured of a big, warm welcome from everybody here. And we put our arms around people because I remember coming here. And I lived down in Lisalton. And the store was my town, really. And somebody from the group here rang me after my husband dying and said, "You must come back to the active retirement in Ballybunnan," you know. And I thought, how will I get to know the people in Ballybunnan? I don't know anybody there, what will I do? But I did come back, and I came to the writers, and I came here, and I was welcomed with open arms and made a big fuss. I've never felt about I being an outsider, nothing. And I would definitely say to anybody that would want to join us, come along, you'll be glad you did.
Pat, you've been here since 2014. I'm getting the impression that your accent doesn't come from Ballybunnan.
I've originally Huddersfield, Yorkshire, and I've lived here since 1977, and no regrets. I was teaching, and for the end of my teaching career, I was in Tullamore, County Offaly. My husband was an Offaly man, and when I became a widow, I came down here, retired, and was very fortunate. Quite a few of the ladies had encouraged me to join here. And so that was 2014. And then 2 years later, I was elected chairperson. And they haven't been able to get rid of me since.
So. How did that make you feel when you were elected?
Oh, I was delighted because having lived here since 1977, I knew nearly everybody. And I had been very fortunate when we lived here in 77 onwards. I was in a public house. My father's, Hearty's Tavern on the main street. And, of course, he was a Ballybunnan man. So because I'd been coming here for so many years, I knew a lot of people. And you spoke to Martina and to Mary and to Maureen. It was actually Maureen who, I won't say pestered, but she did. She pestered me until I joined. I'd only been retired for, a couple of months. And Maureen said, you have to come. And like a lot of the ladies, and we have a lovely new lady joined us recently, Mary Curry, and her base would have been Scotland.
Wow.
But she has Ballybunnan relatives. But apart from that, everything is so welcoming here. And it is very democratic. What I say goes. But we are democratic. We were just having a discussion before you came in because we're going to celebrate the creative writers. And the creative writers, as Martina pointed out, are finishing their 200th script. And because of that, we're going to have a musical, Words and Music, Martina. And everyone's looking forward to that. Now, we have 43 members. And on a regular basis, we'd have 20 here. Now, unfortunately, as I said, because of different illnesses and appointments, and age-wise, hopping off to the local hospital for this and that. And so we like to keep it going every week. And as the writers said, they are very, very active. Unfortunately, you can see all the beautiful artwork around here. And I say unfortunately, not because of the art, but I say unfortunately because this year, 2023, we have no art tutor. Mm. And that's because we're very grateful to Kerry, North Kerry Education Board. They have been so good to us. They supplied the tutor for the writing. And obviously in the past, they've supplied tutors for art. But just as I say, we haven't got one this year. The greatest thing active retirement can offer is friendship. It's friendship, isn't it, ladies?
Yes.
Yeah, it really is friendship and camaraderie. And without that, I think a lot of people would be very lonely.
And that was Pat finishing out in Ballybunion Active Retirement Group. And we all had a lovely cup of tea at the end. And thank you to every single person for welcoming us with open arms. We really did appreciate it. And one of the women I had met there, I met plenty of them, but I met Delia O'Sullivan, who wrote It's Now or Never. And she gave me the book to read a few extracts from it. And I found this really nice extract, and I'm going to read it out to you now. This is called Insomnia for Cathy. Insomnia can be a curse. You lie awake all night, or even worse. You do the laundry, iron vests and socks, or eat your way through all the snacks. But insomnia can be a boon for those of us who must cocoon. She now bakes buns and scones and pies, banana bread, curries and birthday surprises. Every week she arrives without fail in her red Hyundai automobile. Suitably clad in gown, glove and masks, we open our windows quick as a flash. To gather the goodies and news for the buddies, diets are forgotten, we've all become foodies. The Ballybunion writers are truly blessed to have an insomniac in our midst. At Easter, she arrives as the Easter Bunny. For my birthday, that video was so funny. Boopers on alert for the sound of her car. With the promise of chicken, let's be fair. Now, we can't forget Dave, who, let it be said, is sleeping upstairs with no wife in his bed. But he's fed like a king and dressed as a lord and is cheerful and happy to ferry her around. So thank you, Cathy, from each one of us. You've made social isolating easier to process. When COVID-19 had departed our shores, we'll have a banquet for our special guest. Isn't that absolutely lovely? And that was written by our own Delia O'Sullivan. And again, that book is called It's Now or Never. I would really recommend that you have a look at it, or if you have it at home, let me know what you think about it. It's just lovely. And it's funny. On the front cover, it's a picture of Delia reading the book, and her man is in it, and her man is actually the cat. And I had a good laugh about that as well. But thank you so much, Delia. And again, let me know what you think. You can get in touch by texting 083 300 3300 or by emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. And thank you again to everyone who spoke to us at Ballybunion Active Retirement Group last week. Now, we'll go for a quick break and we'll be back with more after these. And you're very welcome back to the final part of Travels Through a Kingdom on this Sunday evening. It's now time for the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerry White.
Evelyn Cronin. Evelyn is here alongside us. How are you, Evelyn? It's been a long time.
Long time, yes, indeed.
Long time. I met you back in the 80s, didn't I?
That's right.
Above in that little house in Shrone.
That's right.
And they had a lovely rambling house going then. Of course, that's now long gone.
A pity it's gone, yeah. It was great while it lasted.
It was a great house. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're leaving the past behind and we're going to come to the future and the present, of course. You want to sing for us?
I've met some folks who say that I'm a dreamer. And I've no doubt there's truth in what they say. I'm sure a body's bound to be a dreamer in all the things he loved are far away. And precious things are dreamed into an exile. They take them o'er that land across the sea. Especially when it happens he's an exile from that dear lovely isle of Finnish free. I wander o'er green hills and dreamy valleys to find a peace no other land could know. I hear the birds make music fit for angels and watch the rivers laughing as they flow. But an end to our humble shack I wander. The dear ones there it tenderly behold. The folks I love around the tar fire gather, on bended knees the rosary is told. But dreams don't last, though dreams are not forgotten, and soon I'm back to stern reality. Although they paint the footpaths here with gold dust, I still would choose my eye of Hainish green. Although they pave the footpaths here with gold dust, I still would choose my eye of Hainish green.
Evelyn, you sang that beautifully. And are these your children here with you, your relations? Yeah?
This is my daughter. She's working in Dublin. And this is my daughter, yes. Madeline Rutmore. And this is my grandchild.
Oh, my heavens above. The years are flying.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm one out of 15, so I have a lot of... I haven't too many grandchildren yet, yes. But I have a lot. I have six in family myself.
And you know what? You're singing better than when you were single.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're maturing.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And that's all we have time for on tonight's programme. I want to say a big thank you to Bernadette O'Sullivan in Abbey Dorney and to all at Ballybunion Active Retirement Group for coming on this week's show. If you would like to feature on Travels Through a Kingdom, just send us an email by emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. I'd love for all of you to come on, whoever's listening, because we all have a story to tell and not to be too shy to say it. Again, if you'd like to listen back to any of our podcasts here, you can do so by checking radiokerry.ie and just search Travels Through a Kingdom and you'll be able to find any of our interviews from tonight or from previous weeks there as well. Just search Travels Through a Kingdom. Stay with us here on Radio Kerry as Elaine is on the way with 7 Days and then the wonderful Sean Riley is on from 8 with Irish Favourites. So I'll be back at the same time next week after the 6 o'clock news. So until then, I'll say goodbye. Take care.